And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We got a very interesting guest. We have Dave with the X22Report.com. Dave has worked in the financial industry for many years. His main job was securing the systems from viruses and hackers and maintaining the trading system so the money flowed from system to system. Dave is the creator and owner of the X22 Report. The X22 Report is a daily show that covers issues surrounding the economic collapse, both financially and geologically. And folks, you can go to x22report.com, as well as he has a YouTube channel. And just go to x22report.com. You can find all your information there. We have Dave with us now. Dave, welcome to the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Hey, thank you very much for having me.
Thanks for coming on. There's a whole lot of stuff going on in our country and in our world. And I want to ask you, where do you want to start tonight?
I guess we can start with the economy. That's normally where I start. And we can see that the economy is definitely deteriorating. And I know a lot of people believe that the economy is recovered. I know the central bank, the Fed, the president told us that the economy is doing well. And if we don't believe it, you're peddling fiction. But I do a report Monday through Friday, and I look at all the economic indicators. I don't look at the stock market. I don't look at the manipulated numbers that the government puts out there. I look at many different things. I look at corporate defaults. I look at retail. I look at the contraction of manufacturing, rail traffic, trucking, and many other economic indicators. And what I do is I take all these different pieces and I put them together to try to figure out where we're headed. And most of the time, what I'm doing is tracking it day by day. And sometimes it's very hard to see that the economy is failing because people are going about their normal everyday lives and they're looking at the stock market, they're saying it's hitting all-time new highs. But when you really dig deep into the numbers, especially the numbers that the government is giving you or the Fed is giving you, you see the manipulation. You see their numbers really don't make sense. And everyone, I guess, realizes now that unemployment really makes no sense whatsoever, where we have unemployment around 5%. There are many statisticians and others that look at these numbers, and we know the calculations have changed. We know that people have fallen off the job market. And we can see right now that the manipulated numbers really go to the agenda of the U.S. government and the Fed, and that is to keep the illusion alive that the economy is doing well. But we can see that from economic indicators like, for instance, trucking. Trucking is continually declining. The consumer demand for products is declining. We can see that retail is declining. We're seeing more stores close, more people get laid off. And as this continues, we can see why the economy is not doing as well as they're saying. Now, it's very difficult to understand if you're just watching the corporate media, you see the economy, you listen to them, and it seems like everything's fine. But then you start to talk to people, and you talk to different individuals, and you find out that, well, wait a minute. If the economy is doing so well, I should be able to put out a resume and find a job very quickly, and I shouldn't have any problems. And when people go and take their resume and put it out there, first of all, if they can find a job, they can send the resume there. But if they send a resume, they are finding that they're not getting any answers from the companies they're sending it to. And what is happening is people are starting to realize, and you only realize this when you actually lose a job. Because when you have a job, you don't see any of it. When you lose a job, you start to realize and you wake up and you say, wait a minute, the economy is doing how well? Because I can't find a job right now. And what I do is I look at all these different things and I put it together and, you know, take the pieces, put the puzzle together, and we try to figure out what is going on here. And when we track this day by day, you can see the deterioration of the economy every single day. And we're getting many different indicators letting us know that things are falling apart, like real disposable income. Well, that is falling, and since that's falling, and people don't have jobs, retail isn't going to do as well as it should, and that's what we're seeing. I mean, that makes sense. Not what the government and not what the Fed is telling us. What they're telling us is that everything is improving, but when we look at what's really happening, we see, no, it isn't. When we look at manufacturing, we see there's manufacturing jobs that don't exist anymore. I mean, we lost since 2008, I think about 1.4 million manufacturing jobs. They've been replaced with bartenders, waiters, part-time work. And you can see this, it's an equal trade-off. 1.4 million manufacturing jobs lost, 1.4 million part-time jobs gained. And then we look at other indicators like the Dallas Fed manufacturing. Well, that's been contracting for 22 consecutive months. Do you know back in the Great Recession, it contracted for 24 consecutive months? Yep. So if this is a recovery, it makes no sense because we're seeing either economic indicators that are equal to 2008 or much, much worse.
You know, folks, we're talking with Dave from the X22 report. If I can just kind of back up just momentarily. Folks, one thing I like about Dave, about this gentleman, and I've followed his work for some time, not that he needs any validation from me, but folks, you know, we've had economists on, named and nameless. We've had people come on, Dave had worked in as he said, the financial sector. I mean, New York City. He lived in New York 9/11. Lived there during the blackout, or lived in the Northeast during the blackout. I mean, he lived through a lot of stuff. And then he lost. He got laid off in 2008. Lost his job, and made a change. But one thing that I've heard him say, in fact, I think it's in the bio or it's in the about. Is he realized that if we don't start doing something and saying stuff, you know, we are going to just give over essentially our kids or grandkids to a system of enslavement. Now, I'm paraphrasing, of course, but and then when you look at, for example, the timelines that he's got and the information he puts out, this stuff is really pertinent to each one of us. So again, I just wanted to interrupt you needlessly perhaps, but just to say how much I appreciate your work, we appreciate your work, and I would urge everyone to go to x22report.com and listen to what Dave's got to say on his show, his reports, listen to his reports as well. But thank you for allowing me to do that. But getting back to what you're saying about the numbers, about what did you say? It was, during the Depression, it was... the contraction of the economy for 24 months.
Since 2008, the Dallas Fed was in contraction for 24 months. During this recovery, it's been in contraction for 22 months. And, you know, from what the government tells us, what the Fed tells us, they're never going to tell us the truth. What I always say is whatever they're telling us, it's always the opposite. So if they're telling you it's good, it's really bad. If it's bad, then it's good. And you can see that from the bills they pass, like the Patriot Act. I mean, there's nothing patriotism about that bill. The Affordable Care Act. There's nothing affordable about the Affordable Care Act. The USA Freedom Act. There's nothing free about the USA Freedom Act. And everything that they do, I've realized that it is always the opposite, and they always have many different agendas. I mean, if we look at the TTIP or CETA, and that's the Trans-Pacific Partnership, I mean, this is really not about trade. I know they're making it seem like this is about trade and open trade. It's going to help our economy, but there's something working underneath all of this. And when you look closely, you can see what it is. I mean, they don't want you to see what it is, but you can really see what they're trying to do. Now, everyone, I'm assuming everyone heard of the one world government. They want to have one world government, a one currency. They want control. And when you look at our government today and you look at the central banks today, you can see they're on their way. And people say, well, how do you see this? I don't understand what you're saying. Well, if you really need to look closely and put all the pieces together. For one, we know that the internet was passed to the UN. Now, the UN is a global body that governs many nations. Well, it doesn't really govern, but it makes certain laws, certain things you need to follow. So right now, they moved the ownership of the internet and who handles the internet to the UN, which has different laws than the United States and a different agenda. Then you look at the creation of currency. Well, who has the creation of currency? Well, it's the Fed, it's the ECB, it's the IMF, and Bank of Japan. And what they're doing right now is they're combining all of this, and they're going to have one currency. It's actually already in the works, and it's people might have heard of it. It's the SDRs. Now, what they're trying to do is they want control of information, which is the internet. Now, just because they received the internet doesn't mean they're going to start making laws right away. They don't work that way. They do it very slowly, very methodically, and it's almost like if you're paying taxes way back to, I guess, 1913, they said, okay, we're going to just tax the wealthy. People said, yes. And they always make it seem like it's good for you. We're going after the wealthy, so you don't have to worry. And everyone agrees with it. Everyone says, yes, let's do this. And what happens is people say, okay, yes, tax the wealthy. And then a couple years later, they're going to tax the upper middle class. And then a couple years later, they'll tax the middle class, the lower middle class. And before you know it, everyone's taxed. This is what they do over time. They're very patient. And they do this over time. So we pass the internet, and now we're at the stage where they're moving to a completely new monetary system. And I call it the transition. You can call it the collapse. You can call it whatever you want. But we are moving away from the dollar. The dollar is pretty much done. And the people that I have spoken to, they have said, yes, the dollar will no longer exist. We're moving to a completely different currency. The reserve status of the dollar will become a local currency, and there's going to be many different changes, and the changes are going to hurt. So what we see is they're taking control of the global currency, they've taken control of the UN, and then you have CETA and then the TTIP or the TPP, and behind all of this, they have something called the investor-state dispute settlement. Now, that is a corporate court system where this lays above sovereign governments. And this is why there's such a pushback with CETA, because CETA and TTIP, they both go together. And CETA also has a court system called the investment court system. So with these two court systems, where they're making these deals with the European Union and all the countries, and they want everyone to join, what they're really doing is they're taking this court system and saying, okay, whatever we say goes. And each of the countries can't say anything. They override the governments. So then you step back and you take a look and you say, okay, wait a minute. They're going to have an investor dispute settlement court. They're going to have an investment court system, and these are going to control the governments and what they do. They're going to actually start making laws that they'll have to follow. And if the countries object, well, they go to the court system. And, of course, who are these court systems going to rule in favor of? Well, it's not going to be the government. It's not going to be the people. And This is how they're slowly maneuvering and taking control of of all these different governments. Now, Russia, China, they're not included in this. A lot of the BRIC nations are not included in this. This is the private Western central bank countries. So right now, the UN has the internet. They're working on a global currency, and they're trying to take control of the court system. So at a very high level here, you can see how slowly and how methodically they're working to get what they want. Now, it might not be like, you know, what everyone thought it was going to be, where they were going to have, you know, this one government and they were going to be controlling everyone. Everyone was going to be in chains walking down, you know, a pathway to the corporations. That's not how they work it. They make it seem like this is a good thing for everyone. And eventually what's going to happen, and you can see it already, how they're using political correctness, how they're using Common Core to educate our next generation of children to think that rights are privileges. And you can see how they're putting all this together. Now, a lot of people don't pick this up because everyone looks at it and says, ooh, Common Core, that's good for our children. Oh, yes, political correctness, you have to be nice to everyone. But when you start doing these things, you start chipping away at the rights of the people. And this is what they've been working on for a very, very long time. And you can see it's all coming out now. And as we move down the path, this is just going to get worse. It's not going to get better, especially when we do this transition into a new currency. Because back in 1971, I think everyone realizes this, that we, when we came off the gold standard, that was the beginning of the fiat system, where everybody said, okay, you know, we're coming off the gold system. It's because of speculators. It'll be temporary. And, of course, we know it wasn't temporary. But Nixon, that was the beginning of the system.
Yeah, Nixon's Sunday night announcement where everyone was hacked off because they interrupted, what, Bonanza or Ponderosa? As opposed
right.
to, you know, what we... So okay, all right. But the mechanics of this, into this global currency, what do you do? I mean, and I don't mean to get ahead of you or take it out of sync here, but I mean, what happens? The U.S. currency, U.S. dollar fails or loses its value, and then we in turn, they in turn supply us with SDRs in place of or in lieu of the dollar? Or, I mean, how mechanically, how would that work?
Well, this is how, from everyone that I've been speaking to, this is how this is going to work. First of all, the SDRs are not for the people. The SDRs will be traded and controlled by the countries or corporate investors. Then they will have a local currency for the people, and the local currency will be devalued. Right now, maybe you know, maybe you don't know, we are in the Middle East. I should say the U.S. government, central bankers, I call them one and the same. It's a fascist regime. They are in the Middle East, and they've been trying to prop up the petrodollar as long as they possibly, you know, as long as they could do it. They had a plan, and of course, these people are not gods. They're just individuals, most of them are morons, and these plans don't always work out. So they're in the Middle East, and they are trying to capture Syria. They have Sudan right now, well, half of it at least. They have Libya, well, that's falling apart. They have Lebanon, that's falling apart. They have Iraq, that's falling apart. What's happening is we had regime change in all of these countries, and it was for a purpose of keeping the dollar on oil, because our system operates with the petrodollar. So other countries, they have the petrodollar, the dollar, in their reserves. They use it to buy oil, and this is how our system has been working right now. What's happening is their plan was to get into Syria and then eventually Iran, and their plan isn't going very well, actually. It's not going the way they thought it was going to happen. And their plan is falling apart. And what they have to do now is they need to go back into each one of these countries. So as each of these countries, the people who are rising up say, you know what, we don't want the United States in here. We don't want to use the dollar. Well, if this does happen, which it's happening in Libya, in Iraq, everyone believes that the United States is bringing all these troops in for the Islamic State. Well, that's not what they're doing. They're actually fighting the people in Iraq who want the puppet government out. Same thing's happening in Lebanon. Same thing's happening in Sudan. Same thing's happening in Yemen. And as the petrodollar starts to fall apart, crumble, what that means is all those dollars across the ocean are going to come flooding back to the United States. And they know this is going to happen. They know that with Russia in Syria, this is a huge problem because they can't complete their plan. And they know they're at a standstill. They're back against the wall here. So what's going to happen is the IMF is going to eventually transition us into a new currency system. And they're going to do it here in the United States, in Canada, throughout Europe, and they're going to combine a lot of the central banks. Because we can see in the European Union, we have so much debt right now, these systems, they can't continue on. It's not sustainable. It's impossible. We're in negative interest rates. They're buying corporate bonds. They're buying treasuries. They're buying everything they possibly can just to keep it stable. I make it like a patient who is on life support. There's no brain function. Life support is working, but the body is deteriorating slowly but surely. Because if you notice, since 2008, the economy really hasn't gone anywhere. If you look at the European Union, I mean, unemployment, if you really look at the graph, it's pretty much the same. Actually, in some places, it's much worse. They haven't improved anything. Actually, they're using a lot of the tricks that the United States uses, where if people fall off, they just don't count them. So what they're going to do right now is they're going to have the governments, investment companies, they will handle the SDRs. The people of each country will get a local currency. And what's going to happen here is we're going to see massive inflation, which is going to devalue the dollar. And as the dollar devalues, people are going to get very upset. We're going to see a huge number of jobs that are going to be lost. We're going to see people very angry. The banks will shut down, and this is why they created the bail-in documents. Everyone is wondering why back during Cyprus did they do that? Well, it's for this purpose, where the people in Cyprus... The people in Cyprus, they were bailed in because there were no bailouts. The same thing's going to happen here. You will not be able to get your funds out of the bank. It will be impossible. They will close it down ahead of time. Of course, they're going to tell you it's temporary, that they'll make up some excuse of why this is all happening, and they're going to start transitioning us. And if you remember back in 1971, we were going through a transition then. This is when we couldn't, when they were putting us on the petrodollar system, and they told us there was shortage of gas. I mean, if people out there remember, you know, the odd and gas even lines. Plates, the green flag, the red flag.
Yep.
And I remember that very, very clearly when I went with my parents to the gas station. And that was a transition to the petrodollar system. And when we went through that transition, there was very high unemployment back in the 70s. There was inflation, but wages went up with inflation. And it was a tough time during that period. Now, that was a start of a new fiat system. So that was the beginning of a system where there was really not that much debt. We're on the opposite side now. We're on the side where it's done, where we have a huge amount of debt. Interest rates are zero or negative. Wages are declining, and people are losing jobs. So if you thought the 70s was kind of tough, this is going to be a complete disaster. And the U.S. government, the central banks, they've been preparing the United States for this. And people said, well, what do you mean by this? What do you mean preparing? Well, there's many different agendas for bringing in refugees. And I have nothing against people coming into this country. You follow the procedures, you come in. But they realized that they needed third world individuals in this country. And I hate to say that, but that's what they needed in here. And why did they need this? Well, if you read certain sections of the TTIP and these trade agreements, what they're going to do is they're going to bring in third world workers into this country and pay them third world wages. So having an American worker work in a factory compared to an individual that came from another country, and that individual is getting, let's just say, $2 an hour, the U.S. worker will not be able to compete. What they're doing right now is they're preparing our country for this third world type of environment. And because they realize once this happens, we are no longer going to be the reserve currency. The Fed will not be printing any more money. We'll be using local currency. It will be devalued probably anywhere from 60 to 70%. And things are going to be very rough in the beginning. And it's going to be very, very different here in America. And we can see that. Go ahead.
Wow. Dave, you are casting an entire, you are casting this so-called refugee immigration, alien invasion situation in an entirely different light than anyone else has, at least that we've spoken with on air here. I've heard this before. In fact, I think it's sourced to you as well. Folks, you're not going to want to miss what Dave is going to say next. Understand, I mean, this is the real solid bottom line information. Our guest is Dave, x22report.com. Follow him, bookmark that website. We are so, so lucky to have him tonight. Folks, we're going to be back 3 minutes on the other side with Dave. Stay right where you're at. Folks, thank you so much for tuning into the Hagman and Hagman Report, coming to you live from our radio and television studios here in located in Northwest Pennsylvania. We're so lucky to have with us Dave from x22report.com. In fact, go to x22report.com and take a listen to the Petrodollar System is Coming to an End, episode 1116 or 1116. That's critical information there. In fact, all of the information on his website is critical information. Support this guy, okay? And I'll tell you something. He is, the information he's giving us is critical. And before the break, we're talking about the refugees. We're going to be getting back to that momentarily. I just want to give our listening audience, I was notified today, take advantage of this, folks. This is perhaps, I mean, this is a fantastic gift to all of us. Greenovative, you heard me talk about Greenovative. It's a small company in Florida who created the G-Mag power cell that produces electricity by adding salt water. You know, you can charge batteries, you can do cell phone, whatever, just using salt water. And what the Super G-Mag battery recharger is. They've got it's a battery charger that has operates with magnesium power pucks and just salt water. That's it. You can charge 6 1,000 milliamp hour AA or AAA rechargeable batteries in about 3 hours. And they use a pair of power pucks, and you can reuse those up to 20 times. And this, you don't need the sun, you don't need the wind or a hand crank. All you need is just a little ordinary table salt, about two teaspoons. That's all you need, a little water. Shake for a few seconds. The unit instantly makes electricity. This is the neatest thing I've ever seen in my life. It's a fantastic unit. It's affordable. It's lightweight, weighs about 8 ounces, durable, EMP proof, environmentally friendly. This will provide safe and convenient power for recharging up to 6 AAA, AA batteries off the grid anywhere, anytime, any weather, day or night. It's got an indefinite shelf life. It'll charge an unlimited number of batteries. All you have to do is replace the power pucks. We have it. We've used it. We've tried it. We've loved it. And you know something? Even better. Hagman and Hagman listeners, now listen carefully. Right now, starting right now, you get 10% off your entire order. All you have to do is use the coupon code Hagman, H-A-G-M-A-N-N. Folks, go to greenevative.com, greenevative.com, or go to hagmanreport.com. Click on the link to Greenevative. But important thing, 10% off your entire order by using the promo or discount code Hagman. And remember, it's not too early to order for Christmas. Your dad, your husband would be absolutely, or your sister, whoever, family member, get this product. It is fantastic. I love it. We love it here at the Hagman Studios. Screeninnovative.com. That's screeninnovative.com. 10% with the use of Hagman promo code. Now, our guest is Dave from the X22 Report. Dave, you were saying before the break, I think this is so critical because I've heard this in source to you, I believe, the refugees coming into this country. Please continue with this because I think what you're going to say next is critical for everyone to understand if I'm following this properly.
Well, I just want to back up for a sec here. And when people hear these refugees coming in and Obama coming up and saying, you know, we have to let the refugees in, we really need to understand, why are there refugees? Where are they coming from? And they're, most of them are coming from Syria, Libya, Lebanon, Yemen. They're coming from all these areas. And you have to say, well, why are they coming from these areas? Well, it's because the United States government is in these countries creating war. And there was a UN report where it stated that the sanctions that the United States placed on Syria was having a terrible effect on the people in Syria, where they couldn't get supplies, credit wasn't flowing, they couldn't get food. And especially with the war going on in Syria, they decided, you know something, we can't stay in this country. So when the United States government comes out and says, oh, we must take these refugees, people must ask the question, where are they coming from and why are these refugees here? What's going on here? And it's all caused from the United States government invading each one of these countries, ousting the elected government and putting in a puppet government in each one of these countries to prop up the petrodollar. Not for the people of the United States. When they prop this up, it's for their system. Their system makes them a lot of money. And their system hurts the people of the United States. And what we're seeing right now is they are preparing the United States for a third world type of country. And you can see this by the number of refugees coming into the country, because if you really think about this, when Obamacare came out and he lifted the penalty to corporations, normally the corporations would have to pay $3,000 or so for an employee who I think doesn't have insurance. But the undocumented illegal alien, they could hire that person and the penalty didn't happen. They were, you know, they didn't get the penalty. So they were able to get around that type of thing in the Affordable Care Act. So what we're seeing right now, the refugees have many different agendas, and there is certain reasons why they're bringing them in. But the main reason is to take over for the American worker. Because the American worker, we've been used to a certain way of life. We've been used to making a certain dollar amount. And other individuals, they're used to making a lot less, living on a lot less. And we can see from everything that they've been doing, slowly but surely, they are preparing us. Now, when is this transition going to happen? Well, from everything that I've been looking at and from all the indicators that I've been researching, I feel that we're getting very, very close. And I use the indicator of what's happening in the Middle East as one of my gauges here, and the economy all combined, because everything is all tied into one thing. It's not like, oh, we're in the Middle East, oh, we're out in Ukraine, oh, we're out in the South China Sea. All of this is connected. And we see many different things happening all at once. And every time we go through a major, major type of economic crisis, we usually have some type of war. And I know people have heard me say war quite a bit, but from everything that I've been following, and I remember when I was tracking the military troops, the military assets around the world, people were telling me, no, you're out of your mind. There's no way we're heading to war. They're just moving, you know, military equipment. They're just moving troops. But today you can see it very, very clearly, and it's very difficult when you're following it every single day to see what's happening. It's much easier, of course, once it has happened, to look back in time and say, oh yes, now I see everything. But I wanted to track it every single day so we understand how these things happen. Because most of the time we just look back in history and say, okay, this happened, that happened, this happened, now I get it. But when you're living it, because we're living it right now, and when you're living it, many people don't see it. Many people are so stuck in the system that they can't see outside of the system. But when we look at what's happening here, you can see the United States government, the central bank, they've been preparing for this war for a couple of years now. They've been moving military assets into Eastern Europe, into the Baltic states. They've been moving military assets throughout Africa. They've been moving it throughout the Middle East. They've been surrounding China, encircling China. And we can see right now they're using the Freedom of Navigation, which the United States never signed. And China continually says, you know something, all you need to do is talk to us. Instead of sailing your warships around these islands, just talk to us. Well, Duterte in the Philippines, well, he's been pushing back and saying, you know something, I want the United States out of my country. We don't need them, but the United States wants to be in there. It's a strategic location for the encirclement of China. And Duterte went to China, spoke to the president there, and they can now sail their fishing ships in the South China Sea, no problem. But all of this has nothing to do with freedom of navigation. The wars have nothing to do with freedom and democracy. Everything that we're seeing has to do with the central bank, with the petrodollar, with what is coming. And they've been preparing and provoking these nations as best they can. This is the example that I usually use so people can understand. Everyone who's been in school understands. You walk down the hallways, you know, maybe in high school, and a bully walks by you, pokes you one day, you keep walking. The next day he walks by you, he pokes you again, you keep walking, and you're getting angry, you know, you're getting poked every day. 2, 3, 4, 5 days go by, he's continually poking. One day you decide, you know something, I'm not going to take this anymore. Next time this guy walks down the hall, I'm going to hit him. So the guy, the bully, is walking down the hall, and he walks up to him and hits him in the head, and he falls down. Teachers run out and they see this kid just out of nowhere hit another kid. Now who's responsible? Is it the kid that just hit the bully, or is it the bully? Because every day he was poking him and provoking him. Teachers didn't see this. They only saw what happened. This is what the United States government, the central bank, is doing around the world. They are provoking each of these nations. For example, in North Korea, I know everyone says, oh, you know, he's a crazy man. North Korea is crazy. They're going to be firing their nuclear weapons at us. Just for a second, think about it. Why would North Korea launch a ballistic missile, if they actually have one that can launch? Why would they do this and hit the United States? Let's say they get one off and it hits, you know, somewhere on the East Coast or on the West Coast, wherever they can get it to go. Right. If it hits, how long do you think North Korea would last in a nuclear exchange? They would be completely obliterated. It would not even be a match. So right. Why in the world, what would be their motive to do this? There really wouldn't be. And what we're seeing right now is a buildup to convince people that they're about to do something, and they need to do this. They need to convince the public that something big is going to happen, and it's not because of the United States. It's because maybe it's Russia, maybe it's North Korea, maybe it's Syria, maybe it's Iran, maybe it's another one of these countries. Because eventually what's going to happen is they're going to have to explain why we're doing this transition. Because think about what they've done already. They've been telling us that we have recovered. Obama has told us that, hey, if you don't believe me, you're peddling fiction. The economy's doing fine. the central bank has been saying that we're almost near recovery. Everything looks really good. We're going to be raising interest rates very, very soon. They've been telling us this lie for quite a while. If all of a sudden the economy crashes, everyone points their finger at the government and the central bank. They don't want this to happen. They don't want to be blamed for this entire economic crisis. They're going to blame it on something else. Now, this is a big one compared to 1971. Back then, they blamed it on speculators. They blamed it on other things occurring, even though behind the scenes, they were really working on the petrodollar deal. Now, we're at the end of the system, and they're going to have to explain it, since they've been telling us that we're in this recovery. And the only way to get around this, and I do believe they're going to have an event, like an event that we've never seen before. Yes, the 9/11 was pretty darn bad, but this event, it has to be really convincing. It has to rattle the core of Americans to force them to go to war. Because when all this happens at once, war and the economic crisis, because even if we have war, we're still going to have the economic crisis, but it's a lot easier to cover up and explain away when you're having war, because you have people distracted. And they will have the ability to do the transition during this period. And we can see already with Russia, with the other countries, they've been preparing for this for quite a while. And I do believe that we have a perfect storm coming up right now with the elections, with the economy deteriorating, with the problems in the Middle East, because right now, once Russia and Syria push the Islamic State completely out of the country, retake Aleppo, retake most of the country, the United States in that area, the only reason they're in Syria was to say, we're going after terrorism. Well, the United States supports terrorism. I know people, it's hard to believe. They support Al-Qaeda. They support Al-Nusra. They support Al-Sham. They support the Islamic State. And once the Islamic State is wiped out, and Russia knows this because Russia has brought two subs with cruise missiles into the Mediterranean. They have their battle group in the Mediterranean. They understand the United States. For some reason, these neocons, whatever you want to call them, neocons, globalists, elite, central bankers, they have a one-track mind. And for some reason, they always want to try to get to their goal. And their goal in Syria is to get rid of Assad, then go into Iran. And if you really, I'll just segue here, if you really think about what they did with the P5 plus one deal, where they said, oh, this is about peace and having Iran not have nuclear weapons and we're going to have inspectors. Well, really think about, why did they do that? Why did they allow Iran to have the nuclear reactors, have inspectors come in, and promise not to create nuclear weapons? Because the United States government, it does not go into countries that have a nuclear presence. That's why they can't go into, that's why they're not going into North Korea. That's why they just don't go and have regime change there. So they cleared the way, and this was done on purpose. So after Syria, they'd be able to get into Iran. They have no nuclear weapons because they're being inspected. They're being looked at. Russia and all the other countries agreed on this P5 plus one deal. That is why they did this. I mean, there's another agenda also. They were hoping that they wouldn't have to go into Iran. And what they did was they said, okay, listen, we will release the money that we've been keeping from you. It's their money anyhow. I mean, everyone makes a really big deal about this money. I mean, he delivered it on pallets. I mean, Obama delivered the money on pallets to have hostages released. But in reality, it was their money that we kept.
But that was from the sanctions, right?
Yes, from the sanctions, yeah, okay. All the sanctions, right. It was all being held.
Right.
But what they were hoping to do was they were hoping that they would be able to bring the IMF in, bring it into the central bank, and have their oil being sold using the petrodollar. And what Iran did, they said, well, we're not going to use the petrodollar. We're going to use the euro instead. and eventually they were going to switch to either the yuan or the ruble. And what we see happening right now, all of this is pre-planned, and they always make it seem like, you know, they're doing it for the betterment of the world, they're doing it for the betterment of the people, but really it's the betterment of their agenda. And that's why they didn't want Iran to eventually develop a nuclear weapon.
Okay.
Put a complete stop on this.
I don't mean, sorry for interrupting. There's talk about the Qatar Turkey natural gas pipeline. Saudi Arabia, Turkey, Jordan, Qatar, the pipeline that they want to run through Syria, the natural gas pipeline. Does that have anything to do with what you're referencing, or is that something different?
Well, that's why they wanted to run this pipeline through Syria. That's why they went to Assad, I think it was 2011, and they said, listen, we want to build a pipeline through Syria up to Europe, and he rejected that and said, I'm going with Iran. Right. We're going to be building a pipeline. And yes, that's how this all got started.
Okay. Okay, good.
So,
thank you. I didn't mean to take you off your stride there, but I've been doing a lot of research on this, the Nabucco pipeline and the Islamic pipeline, the Qatar-Turkey pipeline. And, in fact, it goes back to 2000, I believe it was. Even back then, they were messing around with it. But, yes, more recently, 2011, when Assad said, we're not going to do it this way. We're going to go with Iran. That's when the fighters went into Syria and
the
destabilization process. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Good. Good.
Yeah,
The other question I had, and we're getting, we've got listeners from all over the world, the United States, but we've got some people from Europe asking as well, that when you mentioned about the refugees or the illegals coming into the United States, and they're asking the same about Europe. But specifically here in the U.S., where are the middle-class factory workers going to go? I mean, why, you had mentioned about the refugees influx here in the United States, when you had mentioned that, to work at the factory jobs, the menial jobs that the Americans won't do. Is that segment of the population going to be committed to soldiering, we'll say? Or is there something worse in the offing for the population?
From the information that I have, is they needed the refugees in the country in the beginning, because if you really think about this, if we go through this transition and the currency is devalued and you say, listen, I'm going to be paying you $1.10 now to work. Most people say, I'm not doing this. This is ridiculous. I was making, $25 before. I'm not making $1.10 now. I can't live the way I want to live. And during this transition, they needed these people to work until Americans get used to the new system. Because most of the people here in the U.S., they're going to be extremely angry. I know a lot of people that are so stuck in the system, they cannot see anything else but this system. And when the banks closed, when they tell you can't take your currency out of the bank, when they say we're going to be devaluing, well, they won't say it that way. They'll make up some story of why the currency is worth less and things are getting very expensive, because we're going to see a lot of things happen all at once, because as you devalue the currency, the prices of goods goes up. And people are going to be extremely upset. People are not going to have jobs. We're going to go through this change. And if you remember back in the 70s when the Fiat system was first introduced, I remember a lot of relatives that were completely out of work. They could not find work at all. But the difference there was they needed inflation, and at the same time, wages had gone up. I mean, I remember my father back in the 70s, he was making $5,000 a year. They bought a $25,000 house. Now, after we went off the gold standard a couple years later, things changed. The house then all of a sudden was worth $25,000. And instead of him making $5,000 a year, all of a sudden he was up to, say, $15,000 or $20,000 a year. So back then, oh, everything worked out. Everyone felt good. This is a good system. It's not happening the same way, because we're at the end part of it, where what's happening is wages are declining. If you notice on the corporate media, the Fed, they're continually telling us that wages are declining. They're declining, and they're saying there's no inflation, but we see inflation everywhere. We see inflation in natural food. We see inflation with homes. We see inflation with other products. And what's happening is your wages are declining now, but there is inflation. And if we see more inflation, wages are not going to be going up. They're going to be going the opposite way, because as the dollar is devalued, it's going to continually head downward. And as it's being replaced, it's going to turn into a nightmare scenario. And I think the refugees are a temporary gap fill to help the country through this transition period. And eventually, when everyone adjusts and everyone calms down, how long will this be? It might be a couple months. It might be 6 months. It all depends, because I can see it in big cities. And this is why we see the police right now. Everyone's like, well, why are they in military garb? Why are they getting military equipment? They, again, have been preparing for this. The federal government, the central bank, their ultimate goal is to control everything. They don't want separate cities, separate towns handling everything. That's why the education system is from the federal government down. The police forces are going to be from the federal government down by giving them grants and equipment. They will end up controlling them, and they're going to use these forces for what they need them to do, and they're going to need them to control what is about to happen. And we can see we're getting very, very close to this time period. And the only thing that people should really do right now is, if you already own hard assets, keep your hard assets. If you have gold and silver, keep gold and silver. The paper money, I would keep someplace safe, not in the banks, because you will not be able to access it. I would have food, water, things like that, because when this hits, it's going to be a shock to the system. They're going to try to make it as, what's the word, pleasant as possible.
Painless as possible. David, yeah. I don't mean to cut you off. We only got about 45 seconds left. X22report.com. Where can people find you on YouTube? X22 Report.
All you have to do is, just type in X22 Report or X22 Report Spotlight. I do interviews with different individuals.
We'd love to have you back. This was a fantastic interview.
You're the man. I got to tell you, a lot of requests to have you on, and you certainly don't disappoint.
That's right.
Thanks,
Dave.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on.
It's been our pleasure.
Right.
Wow.
That's Dave from the X22Report.com. We'll be right back after these short messages with Stan Deo. Stay with us.